baby. It's March and it's madness. Now it's time to sign up for your free trial of VSiN to put our experts to work for you. The most betting coverage of college hoops anywhere. Conference tournaments, selection Sunday coverage, bracket betting guide. Sign up for your free trial today at VSiN.com/subscribe. You get, you know, it's always good with the promotion. A dollar works out to like a dollar a day to subscribe, and you get every pick from every host and guest. And in Point Spread Weekly, what Steve Mackinnon has put together, all these tidbits and trends and numbers from every single conference tournament that we'll talk about in the next 2 weeks. The Big 12's quarters were yesterday.
Great numbers.
Single-digit favorites have been very successful in the Big 12 tourney since 2014, 71%. Mountain West next week, favorites of 5.5 points or fewer are on a 73% ATS run. The Missouri Valley starts Thursday. The quarterfinals are Friday. If they got a total of 131.5 or higher, the under is 71% run. The Colonial Athletic, which starts this weekend, if there's a favorite between 2.5 and 3.5, 15-0 straight up, 14-0-1 ATS. Could happen, but that's a strange ballpark there.
Yeah, sure.
Ohio Valley, the championship game will be Saturday night. The first bet will be punched. Conference title game dogs, 9-1 ATS run. The first two rounds have trended heavily to the over since 2012, 70%. In the Northeast, which is, I believe, next week, 7 of the last 8 quarterfinal games went under. And dogs in the championship games are on a 12-2 ATS run, including 10 outright upset. Plenty of tidbits like that with Mackin, and get Point Spread Weekly every week.
It's always great stuff. A couple of NBA stats I'll throw at you. Follow at StatMuse on Twitter. They're very good. LaMelo Ball, since starting, which has been 14 games now, he's averaging 21 points, 6 rebounds, and 6.8 assists. He's also shooting very well. 46% from the floor, 43 from downtown, 86 from the line. The only rookie ever to average 26-6 for an entire season is the Big O.
Oh, that's really?
It. Yep. So if he stays healthy the entire year, he is going to win the Rookie of the Year. And then on James Harden, players with 30-plus points, 15-plus assists, and 0 turnovers in a game since 1985. LeBron James, Chris Paul, John Stockton, James Harden last night. That's the list. And he's the only player to also do a triple-double in the game. 30 points, 15-plus assists, 0 turnovers. So I was tracking a lot of that game in the first half last night, and he wasn't really even shooting. In fact, he had like 10 assists compared to 7 shots at one point in the game. And then in the second half, it turned into the James Harden show.
I will ask you, and in 2 minutes I will ask Von Tobel, because plenty of people have chimed in about this. Will it affect his ugly exit out of Houston? Will that play a role?
I'm going to go, there's going to be more recency bias in May, in June, whatever, whenever the season ends at that point. And if he continues to play like this, they're going to remember that and not so much Houston.
I would agree. 15-1 at William Hill.
You can find him 40-1 across the country.
Oh, my God.
Still. Put it this way. If I had 40-1, I'd still bet it. Jonathan Von Tobel up next.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Second-ranked Michigan hosting number 4 Illinois in Big Ten basketball today. The Wolverines have won 7 straight. They are 18-1, 15-4 against the spread. They're laying 8 against the Fighting Illini, total 146. Also with the Big Ten, number 23 Purdue, a 2-point home favorite with number 25 Wisconsin. Number 3 Baylor visiting West Virginia as a 4-point road favorite. The total 149.5 at the WVU Coliseum. Baylor looks to bounce back from its first loss of the season. In the NBA today, the Lakers a 2-point home favorite against Phoenix. In the NHL, Philadelphia minus 115 at Pittsburgh. It's March, so it's time for the madness. Put the VSiN experts to work for you, watching the bubble teams, conference tournaments, and looking for those Cinderellas. Now's the time to start your free VSiN trial to get members-only daily email updates, our upcoming bracket betting guide, and 24/7 coverage. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Sena.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Holly Howard.
October coming up from the OddsTrader.com studio, Circle Resort and Casino, OddsTrader.com. Download the free OddsTrader app right now. Start winning with up to the second info you need. Thanks to Alexander and supporting us. Compare sportsbook sign-up bonuses. Get up there, viewers. Follow the Money Army. You'll love it. In-game tracking tools, live in-game odds and stats. Real-time bet tracking. I love to compare sportsbook sign-up bonuses. That is awesome. It's OddsTrader.com. At Bet Rivers, Harden's 33-1 to win the MVP.
I saw 36-1, and we were told 40-1 at another book. Jonathan Von Tobel joins the program now. He is the senior NBA analyst for the NBA at VSiN and VSiN.com. JVT, good morning, pal. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, Harden was absolutely incredible last night. You guys brought up that stat. How about the fact that he had 10 points going into the fourth quarter, so 20 points in fourth quarter and overtime. Like, he was unreal last night.
So when did you start talking about this and that, hey, look at this, whatever, the highest he was when you started talking about it and going to bat for him, and then you saw over the weekend Paul Pierce says he's my MVP right now?
It was right after that Phoenix Suns game, if you remember, during that winning streak, right? You know, he's all by himself, no Kyrie, no KD. They're down 24, 26 points. They come storming back. He hits the step-back game winner over Bridges. And, you know, it made me look at some of the numbers with him on the floor, and you just kind of realize when you looked at all of them, like, how great he had been. The net rating at that time was absolutely incredible with him on the floor, like plus 8.2, 8.3. We know that he's going to play in a lot of these games. He gets a lot of flack for his body, but there's a reason why he's built that way, right? It allows him to build up all those minutes. It allows him to stay healthy and play as much as he does. And I just think he's always been a really underrated player. I think a lot of people don't like him because of the style in which he plays, you know, especially in Houston, the ISO heavy free throw, layup or 3-point step back. But he's just been an incredible player, and you really see that now shine when he's got some dynamic talent around him. So I'd say right around the Suns game is when I started to tout it. And I know Mitch and I were talking. That was when he was in the range of like 75-1 at that time.
Oh, any concerns he could be docked by what happened in Houston?
You know, I think there are, right? Because anytime I bring this up, every single person, and these aren't media members who are voting, obviously, but anytime you bring it up, somebody automatically responds with, oh, he dogged it in Houston. He doesn't deserve it. But I would agree with Mitch's line of thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, by the time we get near the end of the year, that's going to be in the past. It's the beginning of the season. And if he's consistently, like, playing at this level, if he gets near a legitimate triple-double and they take the one seed from the Philadelphia 76ers, you're going to tell me that voters are going to look around and be like, I don't know, man, he was kind of a jerk in Houston. Like, no, he's going to be incredible. And I think that the recency when we get to voting time will help him out a lot more.
So, JVT, can you explain what you think happened last night in the betting market with that game? Nets, right, on the road against the Spurs. Kyrie Irving was coming back. Spurs were without a lot of guys. All I heard and all I saw yesterday was, I'm betting the Nets, the number's too low, and yet it moved from 5 to 4.5 to eventually 4 at some spots, and, you know, reverse line movement, and then what we saw and how the game played out. I mean, I'm not going to call it a bad beat necessarily, because they were up 10 in the final, you know, couple of minutes. Spurs outscored them 10-0 to go to overtime. You never want the dog in overtime, etc. But what'd you think of what happened last night with that?
Dude, I couldn't really explain it. You know, I was on with humans yesterday, and we were talking about it as the line started to move, and it didn't make sense to me. And look, Jeff Green didn't play. Timothy Luwawu-Cabarrot didn't play. Those are two really key role players for the Brooklyn Nets. Dude, the numbers with Jeff Green at center have been absolutely spectacular. A net rating with him at center and James Harden at point guard in the range of like plus 18. Like, it's been absolutely incredible. So, like, Green's valuable, but you mentioned it, like, the Spurs were really shorthanded. But I think the market, like, Mitch, it's been kind of weird with Brooklyn, and I actually had this conversation with a couple of people. Go back to the beginning of that win streak that they had. You've had a couple of these moves that didn't really make sense. The first game of the winning streak, for example, you know, they were taking on Indiana. They were kind of floating around a 1-1.5 point favorite, and like an hour before tip, all of a sudden you just see this massive swing to Indiana as a 1-point favorite, and they end up winning that game at home, the Brooklyn Nets do. So I don't know if there's maybe a bias toward the Brooklyn Nets because Kyrie potentially wasn't going to play, right? He had that issue where he all of a sudden gets scratched in their previous game. Maybe they're hedging against that. But I'm with you. Like, I didn't really understand it. And I would agree with the sentiment that that wasn't really a bad beat. They give up an 8-0 run near the end to allow the Spurs to get back in it. But you saw in that overtime period what the talent, like the gap was between those two teams, where they just take control immediately, build up a 9-point lead, and then they never let it go. So I really didn't understand it at all. And I think we've kind of seen that from time to time with these Nets games on the market.
I'm telling you, they've had some weird ones lately. How are they catching 7 against the Clippers whenever that game was recently? That number never made any sense to me.
Yep. Like it's in, look, I think there is this perception still too, and it's valid, right? Like they're not a great defensive team, but I, you know, they switched their defense. I don't know how much you guys have noticed this. D'Antoni has implemented this switch everything style that they had at Houston, and that has helped. Like the effort is there. I know I've told you guys that before, but now they're just switching everything, and they don't care if Kyrie Irving is going to get matched up on a five at some point, because they'll scram really quick and they'll switch back off on the back end, but they're just switching a lot more. It's helped out their defense a lot more. Harden is much more valuable in a scheme like that. He's actually a legitimately good low post defender. So you can switch him on to some power forwards and some bigs, and he'll hold his, you know, hold his water in those situations. And I think that's what's kind of helped them. They're still going to be in the range of like 14th, 15th, 16th, when all is said and done, a defensive efficiency, but they're not pulling this man on man, you know, stick to your guy kind of defense that they were early in the season. And that's changed a lot of things for them.
Let's follow the money here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Jonathan Von Tobel, NBA senior analyst here at VSIN. So then the team, the Nets beat last night and covered against the Spurs. They are in action again tonight against the Knicks. They're at home. Did see a three on this number for the Spurs in a back-to-back. Are you just going to simply play the Knicks first half because they've covered 13 in a row? How do you approach this game?
Yeah. Dude, it's nuts, right? How good they've been. But, like, you know, it's weird, and I don't know how I want to approach the Knicks. Like, for the most part, there's generally value on them, right? Because we've seen the market kind of have this weird disrespect for New York. You go back through their last few games, right? I mean, we're talking about just laying 1.5 at Detroit. You're talking about initially opening up as an underdog to Indiana, only laying 1 to Sacramento, right? These are their last three games in which they've all won and covered. But statistically, there is something there for this regression for the Knicks team, guys. You know, if you look at some of the NBA tracking data, for example, they give up the fourth most wide open looks in the league, but opponents are only shooting 37% on those wide open looks. So, like, that's eventually going to come home to roost. And I think some of the numbers you look at New York, you realize defensively they're somewhat of a paper tiger. But until that starts to show, I don't know why you would want to play against them. And you mentioned the Spurs. You know, there's a couple of things that I think kind of worry me with San Antonio from their defensive standpoint. You know, they were 23rd last year in defensive efficiency. This year, they're seventh. And if you look at some of the numbers in terms of their rim protection, they're one of the best rim protection teams in terms of shooting in the league. But if you look at how many times they allow opponents to get within 4 feet of the basket, they're one of the worst. So guys are getting to the basket against San Antonio. They're just not hitting. So at some point, does that start to regress to the mean as well? But initially, when I just see this kind of a number, I tend to look at New York. The regression is going to come in the big picture, and maybe it's going to be in the second half, you know, once we come back from the All-Star break. But this team has been a little undervalued, and San Antonio is really shorthanded. So I would tend to think that this is a number that might be a little too high for San Antonio.
I think it's time to jump in with Dallas to win the division, $1.50. What Memphis and the Spurs have to go through now with the condensed with 40 games in 65 days, whatever it is, yep. And the fact that Dallas is starting to figure it out as well. How about the Miami-Atlanta game? And now you fire Pierce, and now McMillan takes over, and Miami's won 6 in a row. They just played. They had guys out, and they still beat them.
Can I just say really quickly, I don't know what Atlanta wanted from Lloyd Pierce. Like, they give him a flawed roster filled with poor defenders, a team that projected to be the worst defensive team in the league this season. Bogdanovich gets injured, and now you're sitting here with their record, as poor as it is, at 14-20, and you're like, yeah, we're not getting what we want. You're out of here. And it's like, well, what did you want from him, given the roster that he was handed? So this is a really interesting situation, because I think this is an inherently flawed roster, but it's a really big motivational spot for the Atlanta Hawks after their coach just got fired.
Yeah,
but if you look at it from Miami's perspective, Paul, they're playing extremely well. I bet them a couple of days ago at 15-1 to win the Eastern Conference. We're starting to see that shrink. They have been a team that has been ravaged by COVID and injury, and they're starting to look more like the team a few months ago. They made it all the way to the NBA Finals. So I know we haven't had a widely available number on this one right now. I think a couple of spots open, Miami -3.5. We have some injury questions as well. But I would tend to be, more often than not, and I have been playing against Atlanta. You know, motivation aside, this is an inherently flawed team that I think has been overvalued by the market.
I'm with you. Now, check lineups again in a spot like
Yes.
For sure. But, I mean, if the Heat can have as many guys as possible going in this game tonight, I think 4 is too low.
Yes, I would 100% agree. Mitch, you know, the other night, I got a bad number. I saw this number open. I laid 6, and Jimmy Butler all of a sudden pops up on the injury report, right? And he doesn't play. They covered that number anyway. Like, you know, Miami is a team that is, I think, starting to peak, and the market has yet to really catch up with how good they are starting to play.
All right, let's get down to brass tacks, the biggest game of the night. I have a ticket on the Suns at 16-1 to win the division. I know when we talked about this last week, other numbers were available across the country as high as, I think, what, 22 or 25-1. As Paulie pointed out earlier today, they'd be on a 12-game winning streak if they did not blow huge leads against the Nets and the Hornets. It's a great story and they take on the Lakers, who got Schroeder back. This opened up 1.5. Now the Lakers sitting at 2. Total is at 214 the way it looks right now. Do you like anything in this game tonight?
Yeah, so last night I laid 1.5 with Los Angeles. And look, I will be very upfront here. I talked about this actually on the first episode of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast we did last week. You know, there are teams that I haven't really been able to figure out. The Suns are a team, Mitch, that I projected in the offseason to not be this good, especially defensively. You know, I projected them to probably be more like 15th, 16th in terms of overall defensive efficiency, but they're well within the top 10. And at some point, I believe there is going to be some regression. But to me, more, this is about a number on a Lakers team that, again, we talk about the market kind of getting slow to catch up with the improvement of certain teams. Dennis Schroeder being back, I don't think it could be stated how much this improves Los Angeles on both sides of the floor, right? Their assist rate during that 6-game stretch where they were 1-5 straight up and against the number was under 58%. In these last two games, it's now nearly 62%, right? With Dennis Schroeder and LeBron James on the floor together, a plus 12.9 net rating and one of the best defensive ratings in the league, giving up 103.8 points every 100 possessions. So to me, this is a play, I think, on a number that is a little too short, just given the struggles of the Los Angeles Lakers recently. I mean, look at the Golden State Warriors game, for example. You know, we talk about the weird line moves. The market couldn't get enough of Golden State. They drove that number all the way down to 2.5 at one point. I laid 3, and they blow them out. I think this Lakers team, now that LeBron has at least one other guy there, you're going to start to see the improvement on both ends of the floor, and their offensive rating has gotten better each of the last two games. But to me, this is, again, like, this is why you take this with a grain of salt, but to me, this is being somewhat stubborn with my numbers. We have seen at times, you guys mentioned the blown leads for the Phoenix Suns. That's the defense that I projected at times with the Suns. And I think in a matchup like this, where the Lakers were being undervalued by the market because of that losing streak, I think I'm going to take some value that I find. You know, I thought this was going to be a little bit closer to 3. So when I saw 1.5 yesterday, I went ahead and I laid it.
All right, fair enough. Do you like anything else tonight?
You know, I'm really interested in this Grizzlies-Wizards game, man. Like, so Washington opens up last night as a 1-point favorite. And then, of course, we get the flip, and it's not a massive flip, right? 1 point in the NBA, favorite to favorite. You know, now the Grizzlies are favored by a point. But if you look at Washington, what I found really interesting was, you know, I projected them and I picked them in our NBA guide to be a playoff team. I thought they were going to be the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference. I really liked Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook together. But they get off to the really poor start, and you realize that COVID had really been a big issue for them, right? They lose a good chunk of their roster. Guys start to come back, and sure enough, now they're starting to play a little bit better. And statistically, defensively, it's been night and day, right? Their defensive rating has really dropped, and you would think that, well, to go from a 115.5 to 108.8, that's a really big difference. Is that sustainable? But if you look at some of the tracking numbers, you know, in terms of wide-open looks from beyond the arc, the beginning of the season before this winning streak, they were giving up 18.1% of three-point attempts to be wide open. That's down to 15.8%. You know, they're closing out on shooters better. They're getting within shooters a lot easier as well. So I think this improvement for Washington is actually what I kind of expected at the beginning of the year. So I kind of want to play on that. I took one with Washington because I do think that Memphis at times has been a little overvalued. Like, the fly in the ointment, I think, is going to be Justice Winslow, because in the games back, they've been great defensively with him on the floor. But Memphis is such a flawed offensive team that lives in the mid-range. I think this is one where, again, the market is kind of slow to pick up on how good Washington has been, and they've respected Memphis this entire season, which I believe they shouldn't have.
All right. Great job as always. Last thing. The Rockets clearly should be favored over 0 teams in the NBA right now, right?
Oh, dude, yeah. Like, I was talking to you about this the other day. Like, you know, when you have lost as many games, when they are the worst offensive team in the league over that stretch, I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to lay a point with you. Like, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's the Cleveland Cavaliers. You can't score to save your life. What's the phrase? You can't hit water coming out of a boat. Like, it's absolutely insane how bad they are offensively without Christian Wood. So, yes, I would 100% agree. The power rating on teams like the Cavs are at an all-time low, but that's a pick, bro. Like, those two teams are essentially equal. You're not laying 2.5, 3 with the Houston Rockets in any situation.
Agreed. Let's keep pushing this James Harden narrative, okay?
Oh, dude, let's go. I'm totally in. I made the buttons. You know, you can go to my Twitter account, download the picture,
the buttons,
print it out, wear it, you know. Wait, let's go. And also, you know, potentially make a push for Bruce Brown as most improved player, but we'll stick with James Harden for MVP.
Yeah, we'll be okay with that one. Follow him on Twitter. He is at @MeJVT. Thanks, pal.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, good luck tonight.
You know, this other guy, a couple of viewers pointed this out, too, about this Gonzaga-Baylor prop. You have the forfeit angle in play because of COVID and what the NCAA announced last week. If there's an out now, once they get to Indy, it should be, you hope everything will be fine. But if there's there were some Gonzaga fans tweeting at us yesterday. They were concerned because we talked about Vegas is back. It's a zoo here. What COVID? Right? And Gonzaga's got the conference tournament out here this week, and they're saying, "Oh no,
that's right.
I think they're staying in a separate, they're staying in a hotel together right now. Then they come out to Vegas, and then they go back, and then they'll travel, go back to the hotel wherever, and then they go out to Indy." But this is,
well,
if something happens, it's like, okay, well, sorry, you can't. That'd be a damn shame.
Well, then how about to flip it though? Is it a good thing that Baylor already had their breakout? I always say breakout, outbreak. But then you can go back right at me and say, well, Kevin Durant had to miss games again, and he already had COVID, and now this tracing thing is just ridiculous. Why he's been sitting out. Could also be where they're in the Elite Eight against a two seed. The two seed gets popped. And then Gonzaga,
that's right.
There you go. Free,
that's right.
There you go. Final four bid automatically.
Hey, they're kids. Someone could go rogue. I don't know what could happen. Anything's possible.
They're going to have fans in Indy. This is not going to be a full like bubble like the NBA was.
Oh, man.
Nobody's allowed in.
A walkover, a forfeit, and a Sweet 16 or Elite 8 gate. Sorry.
Be okay. Nice, huh?
Oh.
Let's follow the money. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Paul runs down the line moves from last night. Bad beats as well. And win some, lose some.
Days for your winnings. Cash out instantly with BetRivers new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the most in-play betting options out there. As always, a $250 match bonus. The menu, oh, so good yesterday. Everything you want in the NBA and college basketball. It's good in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Play SugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Rush Pay is not valid in Iowa. Time for win-lose.
Rough night? Good night? How does it make you feel? Follow the Money Looks Back so we can learn for today in Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
Well, here come the beats. The Wild plus $1.35 out here last night led 4-2 with 7 minutes left. They blew it. The Knights win 5-4 in overtime. Great game. And a huge comeback. Spurs plus 4 and under 233.5 against the Nets. I know the Nets were up 10 late, but it goes to overtime and the Nets won, puts it over. And they also cover and never want the dog in overtime. This is incredible how teams get blown out in overtime a lot.
All the time.
And speaking of overtime, good job by Stanford Steve last night with Van Pelt. We mentioned, and thanks to the viewer who sent it in, what happened Saturday afternoon with the Sixers and the Cavs. 37 points in overtime to put it over. Capped off by a Ben Simmons three from way out with 1 second left. He'd made three the whole year. Cal Pauly, Cal Davis Saturday. The total was 135.5. It's on 132. They go to overtime. A kid hits a jumper, first possession of overtime. Nothing the rest of the way. 4 minutes and 40 seconds of scoreless basketball in a two-point game in overtime. No foul, nothing. Come down, miss three. Come down, rebound, miss shot. No free throws, nothing.
Okay, that
I can't believe that happened.
Remember, we had a game last year. I think Auburn was involved. Where the total was at 147.5.
Yeah.
And over the final like 5.5 minutes, they scored 2 points combined. That
made the list, yeah. Worst beat of the year right there, those two. Oh, that's going to be hard to top. Incredible. Bad for the Bucks. Cavs, 5.5 down to 3. Take your points. Don't need them. Won by double digits. Campbell plus 1 went off the favorite. Beat Gardner Webb. Lose some. Oilers, even money up to 120. Shut out again. The Leafs. I think an 8-point lead with a game in hand now in the division. Jets 120 up to 135. I knew it. Line was stunk. Shutout. Demko, great job. Team had lost 11 to 13. Why is the line $1.20? And I'm telling you, this is the way to go. Folks, it's been unmitigated disaster in the last week. Inflated point spreads with these teams that are on the bubble. St. Bonnie's Lane 7 lost. Richmond Lane 7 lost. Rutgers Lane 8 lost by 21. Belmont lost both games last week. Drake got beat, I think, laying 8. Indiana, so this inflated points, but bet against these teams that are on the bubble. They're on the bubble for a reason. Oregon under 143.5 to 140, no good. Nebraska over 138 up to 140.5, no good as well. Win some. Miguel just hit aces and a kicker out here for $2,000. Guys, yep, good job there. And the lady hit for $54,000, the high limit on Saturday.
Here right out here.
Right out here.
Okay.
Sheets are hot. Win
all
some.
Right.
Well, it's not just the highlight clips with Top Shot. Guy paid $67,000 for a 10-second video clip 2 years ago. Sold for $6.6 million yesterday. A new type of digital asset has exploded in popularity as enthusiasts and investors scramble to spend money on items that only exist online. I don't know. I mean, it's like $6.6 million for a 10-second clip. Who has the... I don't know. How about the dog hitting the jackpot? Bring him into the casino. Sure, yeah. I should bring my guy Jordan in. Okay. Break me out of this slump. There you go. Bam. Oh, good. Jackpot. There he goes. And they celebrate. Throw him up.
Dog gets half right.
Dog gets
hit the button.
The dog has to claim it on taxes. You got to sign that. He signed it. And this is the dog imitates the video on TV. Look at this. He's watching the TV, looking at the dog getting up there. He's like, okay, the dog stands up on his hind legs. Let me do the same thing. You're the big fella. They said it's a dopamine pincher.
Yes, there you go. That makes sense.
Wow.
Could play linebacker.
Big fella. Right. Smart dog. Excellent. Look at him. Mimic what's going on and imitating on TV. And one lose some. You be careful. You be careful, Ortiz. Excuse me. You be careful, Paco Lopez. The two jockeys. Ortiz clocked Paco Lopez with a roundhouse right and then the jab because he called an inquiry on him. It's like, I got to put food on a table. I got a family to provide for. How dare you? Oh, hate to see it go out like that. That's win lose.
I can't keep up with all the reaction today on the dumb bets over the years.
Can't do it again, I know.
No, I just like, I'm trying to when you're doing win-lose, and it's one right after another.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. We'll get to all of them as soon as we possibly can. A lot of stuff involving food, like you said. A ton of it involving drinking, and some of the stuff I probably can't say on the air because it's maybe a little bit over the top. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The email, as always, is ftm@vsiN.com. We have bets to get to. In Pocket plays Wes Reynolds on the program in like 15 minutes, who he likes this week in the golf tournament and in college basketball.
The guy has an algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
The happiest day of my life was 3 Sundays ago. I was sitting on my daddy's knee when the Saints, who were 4.5-point favorites but only up by 3, kicked a meaningless field goal at the last second to cover the spread.
What are the odds that this is in any way real?
I'd say like 10,000 to 1.
Okay, I'd like $10 on those odds.
If someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything, you take it. If John Mellencamp ever wins an Oscar, I am going to be a very rich dude.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3 to 1 odds.
Nope.
5 to 1.
Nope.
10 to 1.
You're after.
There you go. Awesome. So good. Bobby Farrelly, we miss you. Oh, what a resume. Something about Mary, Dumb and Dumber. He was on a couple times during the pandemic. Kingpin.
That's right.
Shallow, Me, Myself, and Irene, I think. What else did he do?
It's another one. Stuck on You.
Yes. Great job. We missed the Fairleys. Bobby, come on, visit.
You're on the clock, pal.
Excellent. Very good. All right, in play. Loser with the Jets. God. Yeah, no good. Let's say the Nets to win the Eastern Conference at BetMGM plus 170. That's the best price I'm seeing right now. I just did it on a mission. Doesn't matter who's out, who doesn't play. Still winning games they won 9 of 10. And at South Point, let's give them some love and a pop to win the national title in college hoops. The field, we'll take the field, $2. So, no, Big Ten. Big Ten against the field. Big Ten plus take back $1.60 in that range. We'll take the field there.
How many teams in the Big Ten do you think realistically have a chance to win the whole thing?
I'm with Matt, just Michigan.
Yeah, I think if everything goes right, optimum circumstances, maybe Illinois. But I think Michigan would be the one team.
The bracket would really have to open up.
I think
once
so,
you're talking about Iowa and Illinois and how bad Ohio State has been. You're on a nice run here. Keep it going.
Pretty solid crushing. Week. Yeah, Jazz Pelicans over 235 was a winner yesterday. I'm going Big Ten action tonight. Purdue minus 1.5 against Wisconsin. I just think the power rating on Wisconsin has been too high. They were, 5.5, if I recall right, correctly against Illinois. Lost outright. Purdue's a good team. Wisconsin's not. I don't get this team. 5 seniors. Tons of hype. Completely just throwaway season. I hate the coach, by the way, for what it's worth.
Yeah.
I think they're wasting years here with this guy. So give me Purdue tonight minus 1.5. In the game.
Some big games tonight in college basketball. A Bubbalicious game. Georgia Tech and Duke. Georgia Tech open 2 here at Circa. Lenardi has them just out, and both teams just out, right? Georgia Tech just missing, and Duke as well. The quarters start tonight in the Horizon League. Cleveland State lane 8 against Fort Wayne. They split during the regular season. Detroit lane 1 against Northern Kentucky. The Davis kid had 46 in the first game of the tournament. Wright State's the 1 seed, co-champs. They're laying a big number against Milwaukee in Oakland and Youngstown. Cleveland State's the co-champ as well with Fort Wayne. And then Oakland beat up Youngstown State twice, swept them, only laying 4. Another intriguing thing and something we love about championship week in the conference tournaments.
This is a good tweet from Tom, who I believe lives in that part of the country. And I have a ticket on Detroit, 8-1, Youngstown, 20-1 to win this conference. He said, be careful analyzing the two teams. Youngstown's best player, point guard Darius Quisenberry, missed both games against Oakland.
Okay.
Youngstown State could be sneaky to win this Horizon tournament. And I'm on him at 20-1.
Quisenberry.
Yeah.
Like it.
It's a great name.
Yeah. And this historically, going back, we've seen a ton of upsets in this conference. A lot of time. I don't think it happened. I think the Chalk got there last year, which seems like 10 years ago. But I was so excited for the madness because you had so many good teams that actually form held and won their conference tournament. Not to mention like Dayton, a 1 seed. So many great stories. And then what happened with the shutdown. But this is just historically Northeast Conference, the Horizon League. You see a ton of upsets.
Yeah, just again, historically speaking here, some trends in the Horizon. You can get all this. Steve Mackin's breakdown this week in Point Spread Weekly is excellent. It's at vsin.com/subscribe. But teams having played already in the tournament are on a 6-3 straight up and ATS run against teams who enjoyed a bye, with the 6 outright wins all coming as underdogs of 6 points or more. So think about that. That's been a good angle. And he covers basically, he does have, one Power 5 conference in there with the ACC. But this week it was all of the lower level schools or mid-majors, if you will. And next week he'll have, everything loaded for the Power 5 or the big boys.
Baylor, 2 o'clock start here. Don't get caught with your pants down here. 2 o'clock start Pacific time. Baylor, West Virginia. Baylor opened 3 here at Circa, up to 5. Listen, if Drew says this has been our kryptonite and we've struggled with all, and I don't blame him. I mean, you get 3 weeks off because of the COVID and 8 players had COVID and you had to shut it down. What are you going to look like offensively? You scored 77 against god-awful Iowa State. You were laying more than 20 points. You were down at the half. You scored 58 in the loss and were routed by Kansas. The magic number for West Virginia, 71.
Mm-hmm.
When they hold teams under 71, they're 12-0. Huge game tonight. Nothing's a lock, and obviously, but I would have to go against Baylor until further notice, until they can show that they're back on track and they get the opportunity to do so here with 3 games this week and get back with their rhythm.
I want to Circa move back down to 4.5 in this game. I know this pocket's in pocket. Or this segment's called In Pocket. If I can get 5 today at some point, I'm with Matt Eumanns. I will absolutely be betting West Virginia. Hell, I might take 4.5. We'll see, but I'm going to wait. Maybe that'll pop back up to a 5. That's a really good number.
All right. Too much. So how about Michigan? 8.5?
They're killing everybody.
Yeah. Best player out for Illinois. They are killing everyone. 4-1 against ranked teams. 12 in a row at home. 81 points per game. I don't know what happened against Minnesota, but everyone deserves a mulligan. Illinois playing good ball. But again, I disagree with Matt, even with the double bye. Because these teams are playing Sunday, too.
Right.
And what the first round would be Thursday then? Their first game would be Thursday for Friday, whatever it works. I don't know why they made these schools do this in the Big Ten and the Big 12. Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, then conference tournament, then the madness. There's no need for it. There was no need to cram all these games in here.
Yeah.
Just seed accordingly and just, okay, considering what a week kind of year it's been.
Maybe with the Illinois game, you just wait in play. If Michigan gets out to a big lead, you can get even better number.
If you're a horse racing fan, First Bet's the spot for you. Wagering on races at over 300 tracks, easiest way to bet on your favorite sport. Secure payments, great customer service, reliable website. All brought to you by ExpressBet. Sign up by using the promo code Vegas150. Get a $150 match bonus after you bet $150 within the first 30 days. First.com/bet/Vegas for details. Promo code Vegas150.
Follow the money. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next on the program, Wes Reynolds is going to join us. He had the winner in Puerto Rico last week. His 201 long shot finished, third? A couple of shots back was in the mix. He also had Hovland, by the way, who finished second in Florida. Who does he like this week in golf and today in college basketball? We'll ask him coming up next. Bettors, are you ready? Download the PointsBet app now. Sign up using the promo code VSIN2K to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. And when you bet with PointsBet, you get faster bets, withdrawals, and faster rewards at your fingertips. Download the PointsBet app now to experience this premium sportsbook for yourself. So, are you ready? Terms and conditions apply. Void where prohibited. Must be 21+. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services. The great Wes Reynolds joins the program now. You can get long shots at vsin.com/podcast when they put that out a little bit later on in the week. I believe they record every single Tuesday. Wes, you're coming off this 20-1 win with Brendan Grace last week. Great job, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We had kind of the slow guy on the board and then a high guy on the board going down to the end there. Had a 20-1 with Grace and then 200-1 with Rafa Campos, the local Puerto Rican, who ends up tied for third. But you know, saw a little bit of good form, or at least a good performance from Grace at Pebble Beach. Of course, he's a month removed, sadly, from losing his father due to COVID-19. So he holds out a bunker shot on 17, then makes the birdie on 18 because Johnny Vegas had a really good round going. But Grace ends up winning by one, so at least we got him home.
Some advice for people that might be diving into betting golf for the first time. How do you normally, you know, split up your unit sizes when you bet somebody at 20-1 and another golfer at 200-1?
Yeah, usually what I do with outrights, and I also mix in top fives as well, because unfortunately we still don't have each way betting over here in the United States. So it's like I'm finding that, hey, I may not always get the outright winners, but I've got some guys like 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago at Riviera. I had three guys in the top five. I, of course, had Finau, who lost the playoff, and then had Cameron Smith and John Rahm, who finished top five. So usually if you're just betting like an outright, like let's say you're betting 20-1, you might do a full unit on that. And then if you're betting 100-1, you probably go maybe a fifth of that unit, whatever that size may be, or a quarter of it, you know, to kind of equal out the payout. It's not something where I'm going to bet a full unit on like a 150 or 200-1 shot, because there are those shots for a reason. So I try to kind of even it out a little bit, so at least I can try to get a piece of the winner or get a piece of some of the guys in the top five.
Yeah, I think that's the right approach. Mm-hmm. You also had Hovland in Florida, and he has that snowman on Friday. Without that, who knows? Maybe he wins the tournament or he's in a playoff or something like that. With Morikawa, Matt Humans was on earlier, and he said he's not too stoked about the tournament this week. He did bet four guys. What about you? Your thoughts on this tournament that we have coming up?
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I mean, you have quality players in this field, but the API, the Arnold Palmer Invitational down in Bay Hill Club in Orlando, it really is kind of a victim of circumstance from the schedule and the fact that now that the Players Championship has moved up to March, some events going to suffer in terms of field quality. And unfortunately, it's this one. You know, I looked at the guys at the top of the board, and there's part of me that feels like it just feels like a Rory week, but I'm not going to bet him at 8 or 9 to 1, considering he was double the price at the workday at the concession last week. And he ended up a respectable tie for 6, but, you know, maybe use him as a saver, but not like an official pick. So I went a little bit down the board. I know DeChambeau is getting a lot of talk, and he's got 2 top 5s here in 4 years, but he's doing all this talk of, oh, I'm going to try to drive the par 5. And it's like, you know, just get rid of all this nonsense. Quit focusing on that and just kind of put together a solid tee to green game, which he is certainly capable of doing. And he's obviously an above average putter for such an elite player. But I took a pass on those guys. I went first with Francesco Molinari at 30 to 1, who actually the last time he was here won the event back in 2019. Didn't play the event last year, didn't really play much last year, not only due to COVID-19, but also the fact that he was moving from London to Southern California and moving his family. So not a lot, and that's why he fell so far out of the rankings. But if you look at what he's done recently, he's got 3 top 10s in his last 4 events, last time out at Riviera, which is kind of like his new home course. Finished Sunday with a 66, tied for 8th, has mustered 3 other top 10s here. He's a guy that I think is trying to get back in that Ryder Cup mix because, of course, the Ryder Cup was supposed to happen last year. It's now going to be this year at Whistling Straits. So went with Molinari. Also went with the other half of the, if you remember, the Mollywood duo in 2018 at the Ryder Cup that was so dominant, and that's Tommy Fleetwood, who hasn't really shown a lot of form of late. But this feels like a spot at 45 to 1, where maybe he can get right. He's got 2 top 10s here and 4 starts. Did miss the cut last year, but that was the week after, if you recall, at the Honda Classic when he hit that ball in the water on 18, and it basically cost him the victory. 5 top 10s in the 9 Florida swing starts he's made. So I think he could go well here. Jason Kokrak, another one kind of in that mid-40s range. 9th last week at the workday, was 4th in the field and off the tee, and 9th for putting. So he's a guy that I think now he comes here as a PGA Tour winner. He, of course, won at Shadow Creek last fall. And then Sam Burns, 50 to 1. He was almost Mr. Wire to Wire man at Riviera 2 weeks ago before he settled for 3rd. Led after each of the first 3 rounds, just couldn't close the deal on the back 9. But this is a guy that doesn't have a lot of great finishes here in his 3 shots here in Orlando. But he's gained 11.7 strokes putting over 8 rounds. In the last 2 years here. And these greens are pretty lightning fast. They're over 12 on the stint meter. Loves the Bermuda. Thinks he'll take advantage of the par 5. He's actually 2nd on tour over the last 24 rounds for strokes gained on the par 5. Looks like a guy that's really knocking on the door for a win. He was also in the final group at Torrey Pines 3 or 4 weeks ago before he faltered. And I think sometimes you need that pain as a player when you're trying to get that first win, but you just keep knocking down good finishes and giving yourself chances, and eventually one's going to cash through for you.
Follow the Money, Paulie and Mitch Veasan, the great Wes Reynolds, our guest, host of Veasan Long Shots. We'll take our golf coverage against anybody out there. Had a winner last week. All right, you're from Indiana, Big Ten guy. Anything stick out on the card in college basketball tonight or anything in the Big Ten?
Yeah, I guess the kind of the premier match. I mean, Illinois and Michigan will get the ink because they're more contenders at the top, but you know, going back to some old pro wrestling terms that you might appreciate here, Indiana, Michigan State, this is like the old 80s territory wrestling match. When a guy is leaving the territory to go somewhere else, so what do they do in the feud? They book a loser leaves town match.
Yes.
And that's essentially what this is with Indiana and Michigan State.
Yes.
Loser is not going to the NCAA tournament unless they get hot in Indianapolis and win the Big Ten title. So, I mean, you see it in all the bracketology. Mm-hmm. These teams are kind of that last 4 out or next 4 out. This is basically an elimination game between Indiana and Michigan State. Indiana got up double digits in the first half. Trace Jackson-Davis had a huge game, 34 points, 9 rebounds. Race Thompson, also a big game. The front court for Indiana really dominated Michigan State. Problem is, the guards couldn't hit a shot other than Armon Franklin, who doesn't look like he's going to go tonight, maybe even missing until the Big Ten tournament, dealing with a recurring ankle injury. So that's really been the story for Indiana this year, is that the guards just haven't developed, and you have a head coach in Archie Miller that was a four-year starter at point guard at NC State at a high major level, so he knows guard play, but yet he just hasn't been able to develop these guys, because these guys, except for Christian Lander, these guys aren't freshman guards. They are veteran, junior, and senior guards and have not developed. I went ahead and took 3.5, and those are starting to disappear. I do like Indiana a little bit. I think maybe this is a spot where one of their senior guards is going to at least hit a few shots here. So I do like Indiana in that one. And then there's a couple other spots tonight. Xavier, if you watched on Saturday, we were waiting for Xavier to kind of get that big marquee win, because they were kind of considered to be a bubble team. They finally get that marquee win over Creighton, and they knew it because they celebrated. They were like, okay, this is maybe what puts us in the tournament. Now they go to Georgetown, and the line's been bet up, as I thought it would be, to 2.5. You may get some threes there shortly. Doesn't this just seem like the spot where Xavier's going to stub their toe now that they feel like they've got some sense of relief, and they go to a Georgetown team that's a couple games under 500, and maybe kind of get got here in this spot. So a little shaky spot for Xavier. Same kind of spot for Arkansas, too, at South Carolina, laying 6.5. Arkansas, 3 big wins at home over Florida, over LSU, over Alabama consecutive. Now you go to South Carolina. You're feeling yourself a little bit. Tricky spot for the Razorbacks. I like South Carolina.
Great job, Wes. We'll talk to you soon. Keep it going.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, pal.
Point Spread Weekly contributor as well. Another reason to get Point Spread Weekly. That's another game where we talked about that fits into these bubble teams. The last week or so, these teams on the bubble have been horrendous.
Yep.
And a lot of them losing as big favorites, like we saw last night. Rutgers laying 8. Bonnies were 7. Richmond was 7. All got beat. Thanks to Z. We can't keep up with all the emails today. Great job. We appreciate it. We'll get to them here after the show. But everyone who emailed in and tweeted in about the dumb bets, Z watching in London. How about that? Z checking the show out in London. And Jeff sent this in. I think it was Chad something or other on Twitter had it. If a total's 217 or under, it's on a 71% run of the under. 232 or higher, 71% run of the over.
In the NBA.
In the NBA, right. Hmm. Yes. Ready?
Yeah.
Let's do this.
By the way, I'm seeing some numbers right now. Spurs down to 2.
Yeah.
Clippers up to 4. Christ, you're taking the whole deck.
No, it's a high card low war.
I don't go this card.
Well, you got to reshuffle then. $20. What do you got?
Gee, low card?
I got the 9.
Bad start.
All right.
I don't care for it. You left me like 3 cards,
Paul. Well, you can start tomorrow, then.
Sturdy pool right away.
You can start
right
tomorrow.
Right out of the gates, as
get
expected with you. I knew something fishy was going to happen right away.
High card.
Heat down to 3.5.
Well, I didn't care who's out, but... Yeah, well, you got the new coach angle, too, which hasn't worked out for some Canadians, but that's... Timberwolves don't count. They're awful. All right, yeah. I'm on the board. You were hot, too. I got the 9. The 9 held up.
Yeah, Lakers hold on 213.5. We'll do this now over the whole month.
Lakers open 1.5. You can find the Lakers 1.5 tonight, the big one against the Suns.
Yeah. Looks all like right. It's out there still.
Yeah. Fun show. Joy. We're back tomorrow. Palm Raiders tomorrow.